This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Policy Genius. You could save 50% or more by comparing life insurance quotes and feel good knowing that if something happens, your loved ones will be taken care of. Go to policygenius.com to get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including the new book, The Motivation Code, which is available now wherever books are sold or at toddhenry.com/mcode. What is it about some organizations, some companies, some cultures that make people absolutely rave and love working there? And what is it about some cultures that make people want to run away as quickly as they possibly can? Well, I think it's not an easy question to answer because there are so many different factors that can play into a healthy culture that are often beneath the surface. It's little things that managers do, little things that organizations do to align the workplace environment around core principles that truly make people feel like it's a welcome place, it is a productive place, it's a place that cares about them and their ambitions, and helps them to accomplish their own personal goals while also simultaneously accomplishing the organization's goals. Well, one person who knows better than maybe almost anyone what it is that makes a great workplace is Clint Pulver. He has spent countless hours undercover in organizations asking questions and trying to figure out what makes some companies tick and what makes other companies struggle. He's the author of a new book called I Love It Here, How Great Leaders Create Organizations Their People Never Want to Leave. And on today's episode, he's going to share with us the core attributes of great workplaces. So listen, maybe you don't lead a team, maybe you don't lead an organization, but you want to be able to identify organizations that you want to work with as a freelancer, or maybe you're someone who is in an organization, you want to help make it a better place to work for your coworkers. Clint is going to help us today identify those attributes that will make your organization one that everybody wants to work for. So we have that conversation with Clint Pulver coming up here in just a minute. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Policy Genius. So April means a lot of not so fun things like getting fooled, getting rained on, of course, and getting your taxes done. But if you need a positive experience to balance it all out, which we all do, protecting your loved ones by getting life insurance with Policy Genius is a great place to start. Policy Genius can help you compare top insurers in one place and save 50% or more on life insurance. Once you find your best option, the Policy Genius team will set up your new policy for you and answer any questions you have along the way. And you can feel good knowing your family has financial protection. The best part is getting started is easy. First, head to policygenius.com, and in minutes, you can work out how much coverage you need and compare quotes to find your best price. Since their licensed agents work for you, not the insurance companies, there's zero hassle. And if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, Policy Genius will take care of everything. That kind of services earn Policy Genius a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. And the best part, all the benefits of Policy Genius, the comparison tool, the handling of paperwork, the unbiased advice, are absolutely, totally free to use. You can't beat it. Policy Genius can promise you won't leave their website looking and feeling like a fool. You could save 50% or more by comparing life insurance quotes and feel good knowing that if something happens, your loved ones will be taken care of. So go to policygenius.com to get started. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Well, it's so great to have on the show today, Clint Pulver. Clint is the author of a new book called I Love It Here, How Great Leaders Create Organizations Their People Never Want to Leave. I think we all want to do that, right? Clint, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Dude, thank you, Todd. I appreciate it, man. It's nice to be on the show.
So tell us a little bit, for anybody who's not initiated with the world of Clint Pulver, tell us a little bit about your work. What is it that you do?
Yeah, so for the last 4 years, I have traveled the world as the undercover millennial. It's kind of like an undercover boss without the makeup. I am a millennial myself, and I've worked with over 181 companies and have gone undercover in those organizations and have interviewed over 10,000 employees undercover. And how it works is I go in as someone who's looking for a job, and I walk up to the first person that I see in the organization and just say, hey, I'm just thinking about applying. What's it like to work here? Mm-hmm. And it always gets quiet, and they look around, and then they tell me everything, the good, the bad, what works, what they love, what they don't love, because I'm not a survey. I'm not a manager. I'm just another millennial, right? Or I'm someone off the street who's genuinely interested in possibly working there. And that method has given us really some of the most real and authentic data behind how great leaders were creating organizations that people never wanted to leave. Mm. Because the cool part about all of the research was not when an employee was dissatisfied with the job or they hated their manager. That wasn't the magic. The magic was when I would ask an employee, what's it like to work here? And they would respond with, I love it here. I love my job. I love what we're doing. My manager, Susie, you've got to meet Susie. Like, here's an application. Our culture just rocks. And when that would trend consistently in a business, it was always so cool to see what the leaders were doing, what the management was doing, what the culture of that organization was creating to really develop that type of response in their people. And that's what I wrote the book about. And it's called I Love It Here, How Great Leaders Create Organizations Their People Never Want to Leave.
So this is fascinating. I want to talk a little bit about what you uncovered in your research. You discovered what you describe as four different types of managers. Who are those four different types of managers?
Yeah, great question. So in every organization, you've got these four. So number one is the removed manager. Number two was the buddy manager. Number three was the controller. And number four was the mentor manager. Now, all of these managers, if an employee was satisfied or they were dissatisfied with their job, I could always target it back to two things. And the two things were, number one was standards, the expectations of a manager, their ability to develop, you know, the duties of the job. But then the second variable was the connection piece. The ability that a manager had to empathize, to connect, to really advocate for an employee, not just develop them. And so those variables were what really, if someone was just ticked, hated their job, it was because of one of those two things were lacking, or both of them were lacking. So in each of these four managers, we use those as kind of the guide, and that would always translate to the reaction that we would see as a trend within the employees in that organization. So for example, if there was a removed manager at a Subway or at a Verizon store or even in a hospital, all the different organizations that we worked with, if they were removed, so they were low on their standards and expectations, but they were also low on their ability to connect, what that created in the employees was disengagement. They were also removed because the manager had no standards. They also didn't value them as an employee. These were the managers that should have stopped managing 20 years ago. They were burnt out, they're tired, they were in the organization, but they weren't into the organization. Hmm. Or, for example, the buddy manager, they were really low on standards, but they were high on connection. These were the managers that wanted everybody's approval. They wanted to be loved rather than respected. And so they didn't want to ruffle feathers. And so what we found was a greater sense of entitlement in the organization, because the employees almost became more of the boss than the boss did, than the boss was. And like the controller, for example, low, low connection, high, high standards. Like their old command and control, put your head down, go to work. I'm not here to be your friend. And what this created was rebellion, like pushback. It was constantly this battle of a manager trying to go toe-to-toe with an employee instead of going shoulder-to-shoulder. But the real sweet spot, the difference in our research when we found a significant manager, someone that really created loyalty that lasted, they were what we called a mentor manager. They were high on their standards, but they were equally high on their ability to connect. Hmm. And what did this create in the workforce? Respect. And there's a reason why we called it the mentor manager, because Mentorship is something that's unique. It's not leadership per se. It's not traditional leadership. It's not management. It's mentorship. And if you look at any great story, a film, a playwright, there's always the hero, right? You have the main character in the story, but then who comes along eventually? It's the mentor, right? Luke Skywalker had Obi-Wan, Rocky. I love that show. Rocky had Mick. What's another one? Katniss Everdeen had Haymitch. Frodo had Gandalf. Aladdin had the genie, right? These great mentors that come into the picture that do really this. They connect that employee or that person to their dreams. And it was because of who the mentor was where the employee said, I like myself best because of you. And we learned that mentorship, you cannot become a mentor until the mentee invites you into their heart. And when a manager became a mentor, when they took on that role, those specific characteristics, that was when we saw the trend of, I love it here. I love who I work for. I love my manager. Management is the number one reason why people leave a job. It's also the number one reason why people stayed in a job. And so those attributes of a mentor manager was a powerful thing to see. And it's what the employees talked about. When they hated their boss, they hated the manager. But when they loved their boss, they loved the mentor. And so it was a really cool thing to see come to light.
So you talk about, when you talk about this, because I think we all would aspire to be that mentor manager, right? That's kind of what we would like to be. Yes. You describe some of the qualities of that mentor manager, and you talk about the five C's. Could you just briefly share the five C's of mentorship with us?
Yeah. So every mentor manager that earned that right to be a mentor in somebody's life, they had these five characteristics. Number one, they were confident. There was a sense of trust in themselves, trust in what they were teaching, trust in the job that they were training others to do. They had confidence. And that obviously created a sense of trust for the employees to go, okay, you know what you're talking about. The second C was credibility. They were able to showcase that they had history in the workplace, history in the job, whether, you know, maybe it's where they went to school, a certification. They had credibility to talk about what they were talking about. Credibility mattered. Competence is the third C. And competence is interesting. Like, I'm a musician, and there's some people that know a lot about music theory, but that doesn't mean that you're a good musician. Right? You might know everything about basketball, but can you get out on the court and actually shoot a hoop? Great mentors have the ability to be competent in the thing that they're teaching. They actually can play the instrument. They can actually play the sport. Or in this instance, they actually know how to do the duties of the job. I can sit there and man you on tasks, or can I jump in and really show you how to do those tasks? Mm-hmm. Competency matters. And then number four is candor, the ability to have honest communication. Mentors were great at building relationships so strong that honesty could exist. I don't want to mentor with somebody, Todd, that's going to constantly blow smoke, right? Or that's going to just, you're amazing. Oh, that was so good. That was great. Right, no, right. I really want a mentor to tell me, hey, you know what? Maybe this is an area to improve. Maybe this is a way that you could change this. Because they have my best interest at heart, but they also have created a relationship where that honesty can exist. And then the last C is care, caring. The ability to care. The moment you stop caring for the individual is the moment that you fail as a mentor manager. Because, one thing I found in our research, Todd, is that every employee is asking a manager this question. Let me know when it gets to the part about me.
Yeah. Yes.
And some people hear that and they go, well, those entitled little shining stars in my life, right? Like, let me know when it gets to the part about me. And I would say that it's not so much about entitlement as it is about good business. It's about bringing humanity back into the workplace. Mm-hmm. And that ability to care and for that person to know that you have their best interest at heart, it matters. So those five C's, and I look at that in my own life. Anybody that I've really mentored with, that I have sought out, someone that could connect me to my dreams, every one of them had those five characteristics. And it was the reason I wanted to be and associate with them.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's talk about that, because I think, you know, this is great when we're talking about how to be the mentor manager, but it's also important as a manager that we have other people in our lives who are filling that role for us. And maybe, frankly, maybe our manager isn't a mentor manager. Maybe they're a controller. Maybe they're, you know, removed. Maybe they're not around. How can we seek to develop our own leadership or our own ability to manage by bringing a team around us to help us do that?
Yeah, one thing that we saw that was always so powerful when I found a significant leader, someone that was really that mentor manager, that built this crazy undying loyalty. Like, I don't want to ever say like the word disciples, but it kind of was that. Like, they had this buy-in and commitment from people that was powerful. And those mentors were always being mentored. That was like a consistent trend. Like, whether it was through books, podcasts, a mastermind group, that mentor had created a board of mentors. Other people that poured into that individual that allowed them to become more influential. I grew up wrestling, Todd. I don't know if were you a sports guy? Did you?
I was a basketball guy. So we were always in the gym with the wrestlers, but we were never, we didn't mingle with the wrestlers in the same way.
Yeah. There's always like that, like wrestler, basketball, like kind of inner competition. I'm not tall enough to ever play basketball, and dribbling has never been my thing, but I did love wrestling. And my dad was kind of my coach throughout my wrestling career. And he was a state champion, a great wrestler. And every Friday night, he would take us, me and my buddies, other wrestling teammates, to the varsity wrestling matches at the local high school. And at my high school, Wasatch High School in Heber City, Utah, literally breeds just amazing wrestlers. Kel Sanderson, he's the head coach of Penn State, a gold medal Olympic wrestler, like his statue is in the middle of the gym at the high school. Like, it's a big deal. And we would go every Friday night and we would watch him. I would watch Kel Sanderson just throw guys around on the mat. And I'll have to admit, as a high school kid, it was kind of a drag sometimes, because I would tell my dad, dude, Friday night is like the night. Like, it's the last place I want to be is watching a wrestling match. I want to go hang out with friends. I wanted to go on dates. I wanted to, whatever. And I'll never forget when my dad said, he said, Clint, do you want to be great? Do you want to be a great wrestler? And I said, yeah. And he said, then you have to hang out by the mat. You have to hang out by the mat. And it's the same thing even if we go with the basketball thing, Todd. Like, if you want to be great at basketball, then hang out by the hoop. It's the association. It's the connection where these mentors were being connected and they associated with other people that were mentors to them. And in doing so, their influence grew because of that. Like Jim Rohn, right? Classic Jim Rohn quote, you become the average of the five people that you associate with most. And these mentors got that. If you put a hard to catch horse in a field with an easy to catch horse, you're going to end up with two hard to catch horses. And so I think they really recognize the power of development, the power of associating with people that do it better than them, that maybe know something that they don't know, that have a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that's what increased their influence.
I love that. Well, one thing that you discovered in the course of your research is that not everybody, and it's interesting, this actually ties into to my latest book as well, that, I was sort of trying to argue that people are differently motivated. And in the same way, you argue that people want to be recognized in different ways. What are the different ways that people want to be recognized by their manager?
Dude, and shout out to your book, Todd, your cover. I've seen your cover around and it is gorgeous. By the way, that's just like an author to an author thing, man. You just appreciate when somebody's got a good cover. The Motivation Code has a bomb cover.
Thank you. I had absolutely nothing to do with that. That is purely the magic of Penguin Random House, but thank you. Please continue.
Yeah, well, bravo to them. It looks great. Dude, when it comes to recognition and what we found, when employees would talk about, I would ask the question, like, do you feel like you're seen? Do you feel like, what do they do to value you? The number one thing that employees talked about was vocal praise. Vocal praise. Like, it wasn't the paycheck, it wasn't the free food, even though those are other things that we will talk about. But vocal praise was number one. It was also the number one thing that people wanted the most of. Like, and it's crazy to me because that costs a company nothing. Nothing. Like, the that a boys, that a girl, like, good job. Hey, we recognize you. A phone call, an email saying, hey, listen, you killed it on your sales last quarter. I recognize that. I see that. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep it up. Let me know how I can support you. Like, vocal praise, like, whether, again, if it was in written form or just a thank you note, it mattered. It was the number one thing. Number two was time off, flexibility, vacation days. You know, there were some companies that anybody could take any days that they needed when they needed it. And that mattered to employees. I think COVID-19 has really taught us that in being a little bit more empathetic towards time off and flexibility and schedules. And now more than ever, parents are at home working, but they're also schooling their kids. And they're just it's we need that, and it mattered to employees. Another interesting thing was obviously money. Anybody that says that, you know, especially millennials, right? There's kind of that trend of millennials want purpose over money. And yeah, that's needed, but money still matters. Like, right. A little bonus, a little paycheck increase, something in the form of money is always appreciated. The next thing was experiences. Now, this was all pre-COVID, but they talked about, you know, like, they take us axe throwing. It's really cool. They got me concert tickets for me and my wife, and they know my wife loves Taylor Swift, and we hit some goals, and they hooked us up with some tickets. They gave us movie tickets to Hamilton. We went on a cruise, right? We went and got massages as a team. Like, whatever. Like, the experiences was a great way to recognize people. And also, I will say, when I'm talking about all of these, the more that you could personalize it, the better that leaders were at actually personalizing the recognition to what the employee wanted, right? You don't want to go giving Hamilton tickets to someone who's like, dude, just give me a little bit more in pay.
Right.
Or you know, why couldn't you have just, you know, given me Fridays off a little bit early? I don't need a trophy. So again, it's personal. There is no one size fits all approach to this. But again, these are the things that people talked about. And then the last two is food. Like, employees talk about, we got Taco Tuesdays, man. Every Tuesday, it is the bomb. Where they bring in Tuesdays, or they would Chick-fil-A Thursday, Pizza Friday. Food's a great way to show some love to people. Bringing food into the office, taking people out, food mattered. And then the last thing was like a trophy, an award. You see this sometimes in like that older generation where they used to get like a gold watch, right? Mm-hmm. But the gold watch meant something. Like, think like a Letterman's jacket, right? Something that, you know, you are the top sales professional of the company, and we invest in a really beautiful trophy or something that you can display or something that has some sort of story and value behind it. So those are the ways. Those are the things that employees talked about the most, and it was cool to see how leaders consistently did that in a personal way.
Fantastic. Well, we have only scratched the surface. The book is called I Love It Here, How Great Leaders Create Organizations Their People Never Want to Leave. The author is Clint Pulver. Clint, thanks for taking the time to be with us. If people want to come find you, where can they come find you?
Yeah, they can hit me up at clintpulver.com, and then they can also find me on Instagram and LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Well, Clint, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
I appreciate it, Todd. Thank you.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.